Please turn with me, if you would, to the 18th chapter of Luke. Let us pray first before we read God's scripture. Lord God, as we come before your word today, through your spirit, speak through the words on this page, that they may come alive in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, so that we may not only hear the words of scripture, but do them. That we might embody your scripture through your Holy Spirit to everyone that we meet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused. Later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So in my previous call in Southwest Georgia, it was a small town. We had a total of three stoplights in this town. And one of those probably could have been replaced with a stop sign. But when you came to the main intersection in the town, there was an old building, a dilapidated building that turned out to be the hospital, the old hospital for the town. The town had a brand new hospital on the outskirts of town, but this was the old hospital. And from the back of this building, as the walls of the building began to collapse, there was a toilet hanging out of the back of the building. It had been hanging out of the back of the building for so long that nobody even noticed it anymore. And everybody thought nothing could be done about the toilet. It was embarrassing to our town. And I noticed it when I got there. And I would talk about the toilet with anybody who would listen. We had to get rid of the toilet hanging out of the building. Finally, after talking to enough people, the city did clean up the building. They found a way to get the owner or somebody to clean up this building and to take the toilet down and remove it. The thing under their noses had to finally be raised to be part of our consciousness in the town. Everyone could finally see it was there again. Or with our leak is back this morning. When the plastic is finally removed and the sheetrock is replaced, the leak will be gone. Period. I've been asking God for it for over 10 years. And it will happen. There have been other things I've been asking God for over 10 years. Mainly is for us to discover the real mission that God has for us here. Everything is in place. You know, once we built a building, we got here into this space, and now we've been asking God to make us a real church. To realize that thing that we've got to do and the thing that God wants us to do here. God put us here, all of us, for a reason. God really wants us to be here in Forest. And God has something important for us to do. But sometimes you've got to ask God over and over again what that thing is, because God will tell us and God will show us. The story of Jesus' parable today has a hero in it, and the hero is the woman in the story, not the unjust judge, right? And the woman is someone we learn two things about. First is that she is marginalized, and second, that she is persistent. The first thing about her is her marginality, how she's on the edge. She's on the outside looking in. Women were on the margins of their world back then, even more so than they are today. And they were easily injusticed, especially if they were trying to do things on their own. They had a hard time getting satisfaction from the courts, a hard time with any justice, even if they had a good judge. With a bad judge, they would be summarily dismissed from what they were asking. But this woman would not go away. She came back every time the court sat. The judge had put her off as many times as he could. And I love how the new translation of the text says that he simply found in her favor because he didn't want to be worn out anymore. He only wanted to get rid of her. The name of this parable traditionally over the years shows the woman's marginality even today. Shows how she's on the outside even today. Because we call this parable the parable of the unjust judge. But we could just as easily call this the parable of the persistent woman. But even 2,000 years later, we don't often think about the story as being about her. She is the hero of this story. She moves from the margin of the page to the center. She moves from the outside to the inside. So I want you to close your eyes for a second and think about, well, let's be politically correct. I would say the most persistent person you know, but maybe the most annoying person you know. Just close your eyes for a second and think about the most persistent, wearing out, annoying person that you know. And now think about that person's good qualities and how Jesus even calls out those good qualities of persistence. Jesus is calling us to be like that person that's in your mind, whoever it is. Don't tell, but whoever it is. So you can open your eyes now. God calls us from the sides, from the sidelines, to the places of significance and hope. There are many things in this world that need our voice and our persistence, that are calling on us to continue to speak. For instance, no amount of abuse or harassment is okay against women. It's not funny, it's not cute, it's not polite, it's wrong. Don't act like the unjust judge. He was wrong. He didn't believe in God or right and wrong. He was a sexist. Don't be like him. God's called us to many situations where we are meant to call for solutions in this world. The solutions to hunger and homelessness. Who will do that if we do not? Who will call for an end to poverty in our world? Who will call solutions for every child in our world if we do not? As we heard from Patrick Henry last week, there are many in our system and in our world who simply need parents, who need someone to care for them. Who will call to an end to suffering and the healing of illnesses and to make sure that no one is lonely if we don't? It's not just women, though, that are lonely and on the margins. I heard a story on NPR this week about the loneliness of men. Men are lonely in our society. In many ways, men are also moving to the margin of the world. Men are taught a kind of masculinity where we can't have friends or show sensitivity, because that gets shamed. And so men wind up alone or in some type of hyper-masculinity to try to show how tough we are. The recent Joker movie deals with this issue and shows the dangers of loneliness and lack of community among men when men feel like they are outsiders. The Joker is a story of mental illness and suffering and wrongdoing. We have lots of men in our society like that. We don't need an army of 40-year-old men in their basements playing video games, communicating with no one. Instead, we need to make this a world and a place where men can share and be together. And be men together, but be healthy men together. Nobody should be marginalized. Nobody should be on the outside. In the Lord's kingdom, no one is on the outside. The kingdom is meant for all. And when it comes to reaching those who are on the outside or on the edge, God's called us to do that in our community and in our world. The second thing that this woman has is persistence. Persistence means determination in the face of the odds. Determination that if something is right, you have to go after it. If you believe in something, you don't give up. To the one who feels our persistence, it might feel like bothering, right? Persistence is that characteristic that Jesus is talking about in this parable today. The woman in this story has persistence. She feels a strong desire for justice. We don't really know what that justice is, whether it's property or money. But with that persistence also comes a strong sense of hope. She has hope that her future will be brighter because she doggedly goes into court despite what the judge has continuously said. She can't get a new judge. She's stuck with the one she has. When we hear about environmental problems in our world or suffering or hunger or disease, we're tempted to think there's no hope. There's nothing that we can do. But there is always hope. Remember this. There is always hope in our world. God is calling us to have hope. We talk a lot about love in the church. We talk a lot about faith in the church. We need to talk as much about hope. Sometimes God is calling us to address big issues in our world through persistence. I know what many of you think. Now is the time in the sermon where he's going to talk about Star Wars. I'm a little surprised that I've gotten that label hung on me, because I feel like the person that I talk about the most is Martin Luther King Jr. But I do talk about Star Wars and Star Trek too. This week we went to the King National Park and to the birth home and to the family center there in Atlanta. We rode over from the Decatur MARTA stop over to the King Center. And we toured the area with Donnell Woodson, who works with Focus Community Strategies. He works in a lot of different places. One is with members of the King family who still exist, but he also works in areas around the city where they're trying to revitalize in the midst of poverty. To walk the neighborhood with Donnell and to see the museums, I was struck by something. To see Dr. King's birth home, I thought I would see how much different it was than my own grandparents' home. But instead, I saw how much like mine it was. Dr. King played in his backyard. Apparently, he or AD, his brother, cranked their car and crashed it in the backyard at some point. Neither one would admit to who did it. But they also, Dr. King also was like me growing up. He used to read comic books. He would sneak off, he would put a comic book under his shirt and sneak off and read comic books. And then he would put a towel around his neck and run. And one time he almost fell off the roof doing this, but he would run and play like he was Superman in the upstairs of their home. What I found from being in Dr. King's birth home was that he was a lot like me. That we had a lot in common. Not just that we were both pastors, but that we both had a similar upbringing. We like to think about our heroes as being up above us, as being somehow not able to attain what they attained. But if our heroes could come and talk to us, whoever your hero is, particularly your hero in the faith, that person would say to you, "You are like me. You can do it. Find the right things that God wants you to do and do them. Advocate for them. Get active. Be persistent. Have hope. And even if it seems you will never get there, God will hear you." When I think of Dr. King and his persistence, I think about all the things that didn't happen, either in his lifetime or when he thought he was fighting for them. He had some early success with the Montgomery bus boycott, but after that it seemed like things were not going his way. And yet, he persisted. He continued because he believed that God, he was doing what God wanted him to do. That's what God is calling us to do today, to persist, even when it seems like things aren't going the way we think they ought to go. That God is at work, and God is on God's timetable. That's what this passage is really about. Jesus is telling us it's okay to bother God. I'll say that again. It's okay to bother God about anything, anytime, all the time. It is okay to bother God. It sounds like a bit of a title here that is controversial, but it's not. Bother God anytime you need to bother God, because God will listen and hear. You see, we put faith in the Word of God, faith in Jesus at the center. That is key for us and key for our community today. What we are doing here from week to week matters. Faith is the gift that God gives us for hope and persistence in this world, to be directed toward others, to advocate for the future of our community and our world, while also knowing that God cares about each and every one of us. So, to the person next to you, turn and say, "It's okay to bother God." It's okay to bother God. You see, what is the danger? The danger behind this passage is that folks will once again forget God. That's the danger. It's not that God won't listen or that God won't do what we want. The danger is that people will forget that God is there and forget that asking God and persisting in asking God for things is the key to the future. You know, that's what Paul talks about in Romans 1. Everybody in the world had been given this idea and this thing in their heart where they knew God, and then they fell and they forgot. The people wouldn't even bother with God. That's the great danger for our world today, is that people just won't bother. That would be a tragedy. The gospel was needed because everyone in the world forgot who God is, forgot about the Lord, and forgot about the power of God. We all originally knew God, but now we need the gospel. The possibility for the new people of God, the new community of God, the kingdom of God is here. Through persistence, through our hope, may everyone know that it is okay to bother God. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you today to lift everything before you, to remember that you're there to listen to us all the time, especially in the times when we think you're not listening. Those are the times to know you're hearing. And even if the answer is no or not right now, we still lift up our prayers, our concerns for ourselves, for others, for the world, to persist in the hope of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.